your welcome and a growing friendship, which has been great. Thank you very much. As Dave said, my name is Mike, and I work for this amazing charity called Safe Families and Home for Good. Snappy title, I know. We will actually eventually decide what we're going to call this new animal, because it's two charities that merged together about nearly 2 years ago now. But Safe Families and Home for Good. I'm sure many of you will have heard of us, but for some of you this might be your first encounter with us. So I thought what I'd do is I'll give you a quick film to show you what we do, and then I'll give you the sort of the three paragraph summary of that to get us going. And I'll move out the way. The short version of the explanation is that we're a Christian organisation, and our vision is that together we hope for a society where no family feels alone and every child has a home where they can flourish. And we believe that the church is central to that vision. Across the UK, local churches sit at the heart of their communities. Many are already walking alongside families with a desire to help, and when they're equipped and supported, their impact can be really transformational, as you saw in the film there. Through the Family Support Programme, Safe Families and Home for Good connect isolated and overwhelmed families like Maggie's with trained volunteers from local churches. These volunteers offer friendship, practical help, and a listening ear, and they help to connect them into community. Alongside family support, we also journey with individuals, with couples and with families as they explore fostering, adoption and supported lodgings, equipping them and their churches to open their homes to children who can't live with their birth families, helping create safe, loving environments where children can grow, belong, and they can thrive. So that's the short summary of the organisation, and we'll unpack some of that as we go along. But first of all, let me start by asking you a question. What do you picture when you think of Jesus on the earth? Perhaps there's a particular verse or an image that comes to you when you think about that. And for me, there's one verse in John's Gospel that really summed up Jesus' life and his work on earth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as the Message paraphrase puts it, the Word became flesh and moved into the neighbourhood. Our God, our Creator, our powerful and glorious Father in heaven became one of us. He moved in, he became part of the fabric of real life. Neighbours, meals, mess, beauty, noise, pain, all of it. He became part of the community. He made community his business. And as we read of his life in the Gospels, we see Jesus repeatedly moving into people's lives, showing up where people are, meeting and caring for them, noticing what they need, challenging injustice and barriers, inviting them to walk with him, showing them love and what belonging to community really looks like. Take the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. People didn't like Zacchaeus. He worked for the empire, probably cheated people out of money. He's wealthy, but he's isolated from his native community, desperate enough to climb a tree just to see Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He stops, he looks up, and he offers a unique and unexpected invitation to him. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea. He makes it personal. He makes it immediate. He doesn't say, well, Zacchaeus, sort yourself out and then maybe we can have a conversation. He says, let me into your world. And that moment changes everything. belonging happens first, but then transformation follows. Or there's the healing of the demon-possessed man in Mark 5. Have you ever noticed the sequence of events in this? Jesus had been teaching the crowds. Possibly this is where he fed the 5,000. Then he gets into a boat and he goes across the lake. He calms a storm on the way. And then on the other side, the only thing that he does is he heals this man. And then he gets back in the boat and he goes back across to the other side of the lake. Jesus went out of his way to meet this man. At the point of his need, he got involved in his life. He brought about the transformation he needed to experience. That encounter was so transformative for this man that he begs Jesus to let him go with him. But instead of his usual follow me script, Jesus turns it on his head and he said, go home to your own people. Jesus knew what this man needed. Yes, he needed the demon to be cast out and taken away. But the demon was just a barrier to what he really needed. In a culture where family and community were so important, he needed to be restored to family and community. And that's exactly what Jesus gave him. Exactly what Jesus gave him. Two stories that show us something of Jesus' passion for relationship and for community. And folks, as Jesus' disciples, as those created in his likeness, our Father God invites us to reflect the heart of Jesus, to make welcome and community and care our business too. We're invited to move towards those who are isolated, to open our doors, share what we have and make room at our tables. We're invited to step into the lives of others, to be part of community, even when it's messy. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that if our worship of God doesn't affect our actions, it doesn't affect what we do, if it doesn't work itself out in our lives, especially for those and with those who are most vulnerable, we've probably missed the point. Jesus moved right into the neighborhood, and now he invites us, his body, his hands, his feet, to become him in our own neighborhoods. On average, every 15 minutes in the UK, one child enters the care system. A recent survey from an organisation called Next Door revealed that 85% of UK adults have experienced loneliness in the previous 12 months. 85%. The latest figures from the Office for National Statistics reveal that 45% say they regularly feel lonely. We also know that loneliness and isolation contribute significantly to breakdown of families, which is one of the root causes of the current crisis in the care system, where an estimated 39,000 children will come into care this year. 39,000. There's also, as a result of that, a desperate need for around 9,000 new foster carers, foster households across the UK. So why should this matter to us as church? Why should it matter? Well, firstly, because we're called. There's no question about it. Caring and seeking justice for others is something we, the church, are called to do. It's clear in black and white that it's not this is our business. It's not an optional side note or something reserved for just some people. It's right at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. Through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks to a people who are going through the motions of worship, but something was missing. This is what Isaiah says. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. In Deuteronomy, we read God defends the cause of the fatherless. And in the Psalms, David tells us that we see God described as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. And finally, in James 1, we're told true religion means looking after orphans and widows in their distress. We're called to be a people who move towards pain, who respond to need, who reflect the love and justice of the God that we worship. We're called to make room, to offer welcome, to honour the image of God in every child and every family. Secondly, it should matter to the church because we're present. The church is a network of hope scattered around the world, connecting God's people together in one family. And in the UK, there's an estimated 50,000 churches embedded in every corner of the country, from the biggest cities to the tiniest villages. Where there are people, there are churches. Where there are challenges, there are churches. Where there are people hurting, there are churches. The local church is often quick to respond to crisis and injustice and steadfast and committed to seeing its community flourish. And finally, it should matter to church because we are community. In Acts 2, as the number of people who loved and wanted to follow the way of Jesus grew, they developed a shared sense of value and a way of doing life. And we're told that one of the things they devoted themselves to was fellowship. The word Luke uses here for fellowship his gospel is koinonia. It's related to the word koina, which means common. Yeah. Acts 2 says that the believers were together and had everything in common. Jump ahead to Philippians, and when Paul says he wants them to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him, the word he uses for share is that same word, koinonia. Our churches are organic support networks. We are beautifully and powerfully placed. Try saying that when you've just got out of bed. Beautifully and powerfully placed to provide. When I wrote this down, I hadn't quite gotten that far, but there we go. That we're beautifully and powerfully placed to provide community and care for families, for children, for young people, in our cities, in our towns, and in our villages. So I can hear you saying, what does all this have to do with seeing families flourish and finding homes for children and young people? Well, let me introduce you to a young single mum. We'll call her Sadie for the purpose of this story. This is the headlines from the family summary that we got when we first met Sadie. Sadie was a care leaver and is a mum to three boys, a four-year-old and three-year-old twins. She has no one. She was completely isolated. The boys were fighting constantly, competing for Sadie's attention, and Sadie's mental health was declining. Their living conditions were, to put it mildly, a challenge. The boys were losing weight, and so social service got involved, and even though they were trying to turn things around, the social workers were pretty certain that this was going to end up with Sadie's boys being taken from her. Just think for a minute. What would you do? What would you do for Sadie and for those boys if you were a friend, a sibling perhaps, a neighbour, or maybe even a grandparent? What would you do to see these children and this family flourish? If you thought of some way you could get alongside Sadie and give her a bit of support and a bit of help, congratulations. you just imagined yourself as a family support volunteer for Safe Families and Home for Good. Some of you might have thought, oh, I could babysit for Sadie or take her out for a coffee. I put here and some cake as well. As you can see, I quite like my cake. Perhaps you could go with her and the children to the park. Or perhaps you could help her in the garden. You might be able to help with some inexpensive recipe ideas that could help her to feed the boys well and also fit within her budget. I hope you also thought I could pray for Sadie and for the boys. These are all things that people are doing to support families in this area right now. I wonder how many families like Sadie's or Maggie's there are in your area. The local authority obviously believe there's at least 40 because that's the number of families they've asked us to help link with volunteers from local churches in the next 12 months. I was in a matching meeting a couple of weeks ago, and the tragic thing is that as we talk, there are at least five families that have already been referred by the local authority, but are still waiting to be linked with volunteers because there aren't enough volunteers at the moment to do that. So there's five families already waiting to be linked with volunteers, for those volunteers to come alongside them and to help them. So my challenge to you is, could you be part of the solution? Could your church be part of the solution? Research has shown that where a local authority asks us to help church volunteers get involved, those volunteers have helped to reduce the flow of children into care by between 9 and 16%. That's massive when you consider 39,000 children coming into care. 52% of the families we've supported through those volunteers have de-escalated to a lower level of need. I go to quite a Pentecostal, lively church, and by now they'd be jumping up and down and swinging from the chandeliers and praising God. You could do a little bit of that if you want, all right? But I think that's absolutely amazing. 52% of the families that our volunteers have worked with have de-escalated to a lower level of need. You might have an hour a week to give to encourage and help an isolated, overwhelmed parent like Maggie. You might be able to give a few hours at a weekend to connect with a family like Sadie's and support them maybe on a trip to the park or doing stuff in the garden. You might be able to offer to have a child or children come and stay for a weekend once a month to give mum a rest. You might be able to give longer-term support and permanence to a child through fostering, through adoption, or through supported lodgings for teenagers. Whatever time you can give, from an hour a week through to a lifetime, there's something that you can do to be part of the solution. If you'd like to find out more, I'd love for you to pick up one of those cards that's on the chairs dotted around. I did have one here to show you, but I've managed to lose it. There we go. I knew I'd got it somewhere. One of these. All right, pick up one of those and just fill out your details and bring it back to me. If you're interested in exploring either being a family friend or fostering an adoption, there's two little boxes that you can tick at the top there to do that. Please, would you also commit to praying for the families we work with, for the volunteers who support them, and for the children in those families. We'll send you regular prayer updates and we'll help you to be part of the army of people lifting these families and children in regular prayer. Speak in the name of Jesus over them. Just imagine if we could build an army of 39,000 people who regularly spoke the name of Jesus over those 39,000 children that come into care every year. Just think what a difference just that would make. If you'd like to pray, there's a little box on that card to tick as well. And what that will do is it will mean that every month we'll drop into your inbox with a little devotion and some prayer points and some stuff you can celebrate. And if you'd like to see what that looks like, I've brought some printed copies of it on the table there that you can take away with you. Final ask is, could you give? As a result of the generosity of individuals and churches like you, we're able to support volunteers across the UK, as last year they supported almost 1,000 families. Families like Maggie's and Sadie's. And the impact, over 1,500 children as a result of that. If you'd like to find out more about giving, again, there's a box there for you to tick. With all of those things, at this moment in time, you're not committing to anything. You're just saying, we'd just love to find out more. And if you fill that in, particularly with the exploring side of things, one of my colleagues, a wonderful lady called Naomi, will be in touch with you to have a chat with you about what that could look like and how she can help you to do that. If you're like me, you sit in church and you listen to lots of people speak about stuff and you think, oh, that's absolutely brilliant. And then you take the piece of paper and you go home and about 3 weeks later you finally think, oh, I'll put that in the recycling now. Don't take the card home, all right? Fill it in and bring it back to me at the table at the back there, all right? Because if you take it home and you're like me, you'll forget. So please do fill it in now. To finish, I'm sure you'll be asking what happened to Sadie and her boys. So my colleague Dan, whose area she happens to be in, sent me this final report. To start, a volunteer helped Sadie take her boys to the park once a fortnight to run off their energy. They also sourced and built a bed for one of the boys, so now they can each have their own bed, which helps everybody sleep better. A second volunteer hosted two of the boys once a month so Sadie could have a breather but also get to know her boys on a one-to-one basis. And so the boys were fighting less for Sadie's attention and Sadie said she felt a little bit more like herself. Sadie's mental health improved. She found time to tidy the house and she had more capacity to love her boys. And they started putting on weight. And the final outcome, social services closed the case, saying no intervention required. What an amazing result. Because two or three volunteers just said, we can give an hour a week to go and help this young family. Three boys that are still with their mum rather than in care. Psalm 68 tells us, our God is a father to the fatherless. That he sets the lonely in families. Could he be wanting to do that through you today? Amen.